Radio's Prattcast with Stephanie Pratt and Wells Adams.
Post Memorial Day weekend. It's Tuesday? What day is it?
It's Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday? Wells and Steph hanging out with you in Seacrest Studios. Did you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
Yes.
What did you do?
I had friends in town from London.
Oh, I saw that. I saw your story. They saw dolphins and they were very excited
about
it.
They freaked out.
Yeah.
It was like so, and they've seen dolphins before. But yeah.
They don't got dolphins over there in
England? Like I've been with them and seen dolphins like on holidays. I mean, it was just so funny.
They were just trying to be cute for the camera.
Oh no, they were genuinely like, LA's crazy.
Really?
Dolphins in Malibu.
Are they
went to Nobu twice. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, wow. It was an expensive weekend then.
It was. And I got a massage and a facial.
Jesus.
But I was all alone.
No, you weren't. Your friends were in town. You just said that.
Yeah, but like it was a long weekend.
All right. So who were your friends in town from? Are they from Made in Chelsea?
They are. That's okay. How I met.
Yeah.
So actually, the like biggest frenemy ever.
Wow.
Yeah. So Lucy Watson.
Yeah. Does she know?
My best friend now.
Yeah.
Oh, does she know she's a frenemy? No, we're not frenemies now.
Oh, okay.
But so how I met her. So I started dating this guy when in London 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And he had just cheated on this girlfriend named Lucy, but I had no idea. So when I arrived and we were like out pictured together, all the magazine covers were like, you know, Spencer's revenge and Lucy's at home crying and, you know, all this stuff. And so I was even wound up. Spencer was like, you know, she's horrible, blah, blah, blah. And I was with Spencer. I had never met her.
Yeah.
And so we had like a scene at Polo and it was like so savage.
Like a polo game?
Uh-huh.
Like in Pretty Woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had our face off.
Yeah.
And it was like nasty.
What, on horses? Or you just like ran into one another?
We were watching polo.
Oh,
we were drinking Pimm's.
Stop it.
In our Sunday best. Yeah, so we totally had it out. And then the next time I see her is like a week, 2 weeks later. And I walk into a scene and I'm supposed to be meeting... Okay, I'm going to call him Spenny so people don't get confused.
Yeah, we're not talking about your brother.
No. Spencer Matthews.
He's the guy you dated.
Yes.
Weird, London. By the way.
Oh, call him Spenny.
I know, but like the fact that you dated someone with the same name as your brother, going to go ahead and say it, kind of weird.
You know,
just throw it out there. But everyone's thinking it right now.
Really?
Everyone's thinking it.
Honestly?
Sorry,
I
my sister's an Amy, I married an Amy. Sorry.
Really?
Yep.
Thank
I support
you.
Steph in this.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Wow.
You can't help names.
I know, but like there's like a weird thing between you and your brother and a weird competition, then you start dating a guy named Spencer.
I'm living in another country.
I'm just saying, I think people are thinking it.
All right. All right. Well, you people are sick.
All right.
And I never want to meet you. Sickos. You stay home.
But also keep listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so
anyways, the next time we see, so I think I'm walking in to see Spencer.
Yeah.
And I walk in and it's this girl, Lucy, and another girl named Louise, and they're both his ex-girlfriends.
Oh my God.
So, you know, I was on the hills back in the day, so I'm like, okay, like it's about to go down.
Earrings off, heels out, yeah. We're going. Okay.
So I walk over and they're so excited to be like, he did it to you too.
Oh.
And I was like, what? And they're like, he cheated on you. We told you, like, he cheated on you. And they were so excited to tell me. And I'd never been cheated on in my life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Spencer has been prompted by the producers to make his entrance.
Yeah.
So he sees his two ex-girlfriends talking to me. And like, we all look up when the door opens and he's walking in going like, oh, you know, like he knows. And so he sits down and I'm like, you cheated on me. And like the girl, like Lucy's just like beaming. Mm-hmm. She's so happy. And I ended up flying home the next day. It was horrible. I like threw our like house keys at his face and I flew home the next day.
Like in a temper tantrum? Or like, were you supposed to go home?
Oh no, he cheated on me.
Yeah. So you were like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
It was like, I'd never been cheated on before. I was like devastated.
Who did cheat on you with?
Oh my, this girl in Ireland.
Is her name Heidi? Because that would be really weird, right?
I mean, it wasn't. I don't know. So the only, how the ex-girlfriends found out was Louise was going through her little brother's phone, who's also on the show.
Oh, okay.
And he was at an appearance, they call them PAs, in Ireland with Spencer Matthews.
Yeah.
And then he texted Spencer like the next morning being like, is the bird still in your room? We got to get to the airport.
Oh, yeah, because British people call women birds.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It wasn't like code or anything.
Is the bird.
Has the eagle
has
landed?
I was just going to say that.
Okay, so this was so.
So anyway, so then, yeah. Long story, I know I'm turning into my mother.
Yeah, no, this is great.
So then it's like Christmas time, yeah. And I get a weird email from Lucy. Uh-huh. And she's like, hi, I didn't know. I don't know. Like, I'm still doing this accent.
No, do it. It's okay.
Okay. Hi, I don't know if you're going to respond to this or read this, but it's Lucy Watson. I got your information from the show. I'm coming out to LA after Christmas, like, you know, blah, blah. And she's like, do you want to get together? So I'm like, hell no. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But I'm also coming home from something that I can't explain to any of my friends. I've just been living in London and got cheated on, you know, by this guy on TV. Like, you know, my friends can't really support me because they don't understand. So I realize, oh my God, Lucy's been through exactly what I just went through.
Mm-hmm.
And so after like ignoring her for like 6 days, the day before she left, I picked her up from her hotel and actually took her to Nobu. And we just talked about everything. And like, it was the best relief and like
cathartic.
Yeah. And like, also, I mean, I felt horrible. I was like, I'm so ugly. He cheated on me with like a random girl in Ireland. Like, that's how like worthless, you know, I went through the ringer on myself. So just, you know, talking to Lucy, and we've been best friends ever since.
Oh.
Yeah. Like best friends.
So are they, is she in a relationship now, or is this like a scouting mission? So this is how I saw it from watching your Insta stories. It was like two cute British chicks.
Her little sister, our other best friend.
Yeah. Okay. Like in
Tiffany.
Yeah. Wherever you guys, in Malibu, where like they just like roaming for dudes, like actors. Like, was that like what they were here for?
They were here for dolphins.
Really?
Yeah. They both have very serious boyfriends.
Okay.
Lucy actually met hers on the show.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that you have like good friends from that show.
And you know what? That's what I'm really missing is my friends in London.
Really? Because
I really don't know that many people here.
Yeah, you do. You know everybody.
But not now. You know, I knew them back then.
Yeah.
So it's been weird not having like that many friends to call.
Yeah. Well, you can call me anytime.
You're always leaving and
no,
going out of town.
No.
You're going out of town again. You're never here. Why do you have a podcast if you're never here? Well,
I literally have never missed a podcast.
Well, you're about to.
No, I'm not. I'm going to make every single one.
All right, listeners.
Hopefully.
You just heard that.
We've got a guest today, by the way.
That's sad that I'm like not even excited. I go, ugh. I mean, you need to start bringing on people I get excited for.
Well, how do you know? You don't even know who this guest is.
I know. I'm worried.
Okay, so we're bringing on a life coach named Cherie Healy.
So are we just going to meet with everyone in the LA county?
Yep. We're going to fix this. All right?
Oh, me again.
I think you. Everyone could use some life coaching, you know?
I agree.
But I think that, I mean, we talked to like a psychologist. We brought in John Bon Jovi's daughter. I mean, we're bringing in everybody at this point to try to like get to the bottom of what's happening with me and with you and with the show and all that kind of stuff. Are you mad at me for doing this?
No.
Yeah?
I'm excited.
Okay.
But I was smiling because I realized my problem, so.
What's your problem?
Priorities.
Yeah.
And you want to know who told me that?
Who?
Derek.
Yep. Let's just go into it. Have you talked to Derek recently?
No, not really.
So is it over? Is it over with you guys?
Yeah. Just right now, because I said, I was like, you know, I can't remember what I was saying. Something about going out of town and being busy.
Yeah.
And he was like, priorities.
Yeah.
And then like, that's when I realized work will always be my priority.
Yeah. They can intertwine.
But that was like a huge epiphany.
Yeah. Really? You didn't know that about yourself beforehand?
No, for some reason, the word priorities just like really rang a bell.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, if I wanted, you know, to get married right now, my priority would be, you know, meeting people, and it's different.
Let's go through your priority list right here. What's number one?
Work.
Okay. So making money.
Yes.
Yeah. What's number two?
I mean, it's kind of combined with one. It's just like making my parents proud.
Okay. Interesting. What's number three?
Watching TV.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy.
Who needs friends when you can turn on Netflix and see all Rachel and Chandler and Ross?
I'm thinking about like the last week of like my nights. And I was like, yeah.
Okay.
It's a big part of my life. Being alone is a priority. That's weird.
Wow.
That's weird.
Being alone for you is a priority.
Wow.
The fact that you're saying it out loud is impressive. A lot of us say it like in a joking or like self-deprecating way.
I need to really absorb this.
Yeah. You would rather, you know, this is so funny. Like the dichotomy of this whole thing. Someone who wants to not be seen by anybody also is on a show that's seen by everybody.
Oh, I know. It's the, so I love attention when I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Every single day that I'm not, that I'm in the Palisades walking Max or whatever, no makeup, hair in a scrunchie, sandals, t-shirts, shorts, same thing as Hawaii, like hat always and sunglasses, always. I look at the ground, I just look like, not dirty, but just like, I'm going for like a little high school student, you know,
mm-hmm.
with a hood and all that.
Yeah.
But I like really hide from attention.
Yeah.
Like unless I want it, like I like to be alone and I always have a hat on.
Yeah, but your priority list lists working number one, and number one working is being seen and having to be around a bunch of people. You know, so that's like your being alone was number four on that list.
Oh, my God. You know what it is? How you were saying intertwining. You can do that with relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm intertwining my work with being alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and number two, you said was making your parents proud. I don't want to go into a whole thing, but have you had any contact with them?
Yes. They had my dog this weekend.
Okay. So you got to be in contact with them because they're taking care of the most important thing in your life.
Yes, my dad and I texted.
Yeah. And how's
it? My mom wrote me another email.
And what was the vibe of it?
The email?
Yeah.
Like if I had just read the first half, I like wouldn't ever respond.
Yeah. But the second half was?
Like I might respond.
Yeah. Are you going to or not? What do you think?
I think I'm just going to CC her on an email to my therapist. And make an appointment.
I think that is a very good idea.
Thank you.
I think that is, and also a very like.
Because I don't want to respond to the email because of the first half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But CCing her instead of also just talking directly to her. Yeah. So you're going to compliment me? Sorry. Why did I cut you off?
Yeah, well, what are you doing?
I really need to stop interrupting.
Well, I think that's a very mature thing to do is to get maybe everyone in a room and talking with one another and having someone moderate it.
Like, yeah, I'd love my dad to be there. Obviously, he's going to be on the email too, but
yeah.
I don't think he'll be able to make the first one because it's weekdays and
he's a busy guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. I just, as long, the only thing that I really care about is that we're moving forward towards reconciliation, you know? Like that is, to me, is what's important because family is important in my life. And I know it's an important thing in yours considering it was number two on your list of priorities. You know what I'm saying? So I'm proud of you for doing that.
But number two is like,
mm-hmm.
is making them proud. But that's also like the demise of everything because I feel like I've done so much. And, you know, why my brothers just sat at the beach house for 6 years and, you know, I moved to another country and have not stopped hustling, nutrition company, designed clothing line, jewelry. Like I have not stopped. I've done like 4 shows over there. I mean, exhaustion. Like I only had Christmas off and my brother just sat at the beach house. And like my parents just aren't like I don't know why they don't see how much I've done and give me slack.
Okay, so do you think that you do all these things, the jewelry line, all the television shows, the nutrition thing, all this stuff, so your parents recognize you and then in turn are proud of you?
Not 100%.
But it's part of it.
Absolutely.
So, like,
all I want to do is show them for everything they invested in me.
Yeah.
The support, the love. I mean, you know, years of getting rejection. And, you know, it's been a wild ride for my parents. And I just want to thank them and just be like, look how successful I am. Like, I have an empire, hopefully, coming soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to give them, like, everything. And just, like, say thank you for my whole life. I mean, you also need to remember, like, they saved my life, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel, like, forever in debt to them.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know you guys that well, just from, like, hearing, like, your side of things. But, like, when I hear about it, it seems so much more... Your hustle has so much more to do about them than about you. And I think that that's kind of an unhealthy thing. And I wonder if you start focusing on, like, your success, the importance of your success is about you being successful, not about someone else appreciating your success. And once you're able to, like, maybe shed that weight of, like, always trying to make sure your parents are proud of you, it'll be a healthier relationship with them. Because I feel like in your eyes, there's nothing you can do to make them put you on a pedestal as high as your brother. Nothing you could do. I don't think you could. I think in your mind, you could be the president of the United States, and they would still, and you'd still be like, well, they texted Spencer more than they texted me. But that's an unhealthy thing, because becoming the president of the United States or building an empire or whatever it is awesome on its own merits. It has nothing to do with whether they appreciated it or not. And you're never going to be able to win that argument anyways in your head, because Spencer's always going to win because that's how you perceive it.
But it's just, I really appreciate that, and I took that in, and I think you're completely right. But the way that I'm spoken to and the text that I get, you know, saying, like, really, all you do is shop, blah, 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 like, it's almost as if they think that I'm, like, this LA, probably what, like, the world sees me as. Like, this, you know, dumb blonde who all I do is have a credit card and take my little dog everywhere. But, like, that's just not the case. And they treat me almost like that just because, like, I don't know why.
Do you resent the show for curating that persona?
No, I mean, I am blonde and I do, like, shop. And I do take Macs everywhere.
Yeah,
but
okay.
There's more to me than that. You know, I work so hard. So when I get these texts being like, you know, you're really going to Hawaii for your birthday, like,
yeah,
and they come down on me, it's just like, you guys have seen me at Christmas for 5 years, like, asleep in a coma for like 2 weeks from exhaustion, from like how hard I work. Like, and it's just like, because of these texts, it'll never, it's, I don't know, it's screwed up. It's like a psychological, like, head f-
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a lot to unpack. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have Cherie Healy, this life coach, on, and we'll just, like, talk through all this stuff. I also want to get some, like, life coach information for me, selfishly.
No, this is called Prattcast.
Okay, that's right.
Of course, Wells.
Okay, so I wanted to bring on this life coach because we're going to go through, I don't know, every professional in the greater Los Angeles area and try to fix Steph Pratt. And just fix everybody, for that matter. Bringing on Cherie Healy. She's a life coach. Cherie, how are you?
Hey, great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Oh, she's coming in with so much energy. I'm loving it already.
Hi, Cherie. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay, first question. How do I make my life better?
I mean, do what makes you happy. Follow your pleasure. Take it seriously.
Ooh. Follow my pleasure.
What is your pleasure?
Yeah.
What is my pleasure?
Yeah.
Podcasting.
Podcasting.
I think it's important to do what gives you joy. And that opens up everything. Your work, your relationships, everything. I think it's the point.
What if you can't afford to follow your dreams?
Oh, well, that's a big fat excuse. You absolutely can follow all the joy. It's free.
Oh,
and
I'm
moment to
I'm
moment.
I'm saying this for the listeners.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, everyone would love to follow their pleasure, but you also need to work every day to survive. So it's hard to, I don't know.
Well, that is a great, great comment. And I think what most people get stuck in is that they think they're mutually exclusive, that I can't have joy until I check off all these boxes or, you know, finish my day at work or go on vacation. And that's what I'm really on a mission to demystify.
That's so true.
You really can experience joy even if you, you know, have a job that isn't your highest calling or isn't the dream job. It's a choice moment to moment. And it doesn't cost a thing. And I think that people don't believe that that's possible and they don't see models of it around them. So they think that they just have to tolerate, you know, a whole lot of struggle and then get joy every now and then. And I think it's actually the strategy that changes our work and our relationships and everything, regardless of money.
So, Cherie, I mean, we all have ups and downs, but currently, Steph is kind of going through a downward area.
Sure. I would just love to like get more advice on how to live your best life instead of making this much.
No, my question is that like so like I feel like that's how life is, right? Like it's ups and downs, it's peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
So since we have Cherie on right now, what is like some good advice for someone who's on kind of like a downward path and it hasn't kind of like started to go back up? Does that make sense?
Okay. Good. Perfect question. Steph, what is the thing that gives you the most joy right now? Like, or just in life, like, have you ever been a dancer or a surfer or an artist or does any
of those?
Horseback rider. Okay. So when you're horseback riding, are there moments where it gets a little hairy? Like if you're out on a ride and the horse is going through some canyon territory where it gets tricky?
Never. Yeah, I'm like diehard, been riding my whole life.
Okay, so there you go, right there. That if you can cut and paste the way in which you are on top of that horse when you're in a downturn, like, you know, you're in the down moment right now, but if you can be like, I'm riding the horse, tell me how you would approach the down.
I just try to keep my perspective right.
Because you have to do that on the horse, right?
Oh, I thought you were
really
saying...
clear.
I thought you were... Sorry, I misunderstood the question.
Well, think about like how you are when you're riding. Horses are like the clearest mirror for us, right? They are really sensitive to our energy. And you can't tell a horse what to do unless you're in sync with the horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you approach the down in life like you do when you ride the horse?
I'm sorry. I don't know how to compare riding a horse to getting out of a valley. Wait, Wells, help me.
Yeah.
Wells,
this is it's tricky, right? Because it's a little abstract. You don't think about that when you're in the valley. But it's the same thing. So I'll give you a concrete example. Like I love to surf.
You just keep riding?
Well, what would you do if the horse was in a valley and the horse was in a down cycle, right? The ups and downs, like Wells just said, when you're in the down and the horse is struggling, maybe because you haven't had that experience yet, you can't go there in your mind, but I bet you anything, because you've been riding your whole life, you would be in complete control of that horse and you would direct that horse through the valley.
Yeah.
I think she's making an analogy,
now,
right?
That, yeah.
So like
it's a metaphor.
You had some trouble too.
No, but I understand. I did, but I understand what she's saying. Like the problem that you're having with this metaphor analogy is that you don't have problems riding horses because you're really, really good at it. But okay, so like let's say the horse is the problem, right? And the horse is struggling down the rocky shoals or something.
There's no bad horses, only bad riders. Okay. Name the movie.
Oh my
Name
God.
The movie. Anyone?
Hidalgo?
Oh my gosh. I'm going to expect emails, guys. If you can name that movie, I'm...
Seabiscuit?
Nope. Okay, sorry. Go on.
But anyways, I imagine that it's like you lean back or whatever, you take control of the reins or whatever. And I think that's what she's saying is that like...
You take control.
Exactly, right? Is that what you're saying, Cherie?
Yeah, well, it's a metaphor for life. Like, I'm a surfer, right? So everything in life is about surfers don't go out on the ocean to have a bad time, right?
Yeah.
They don't go out to suck it. They go out to have a great time. And Phil Edwards, the great surfer of all time, always used to say, like, the best surfer out there is the one having the most fun. And so if you're under the rip curl, like, you're down under the current, down on the bottom of the ocean, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight it and complain? Or are you going to, like, lay down and let the waves pass? So that's a metaphor for the way to live life, because you identify with that, but your thing is riding, and that's where your strength is. I mean, you just said it. There are no bad horses. There are only bad riders. So if you're a great rider on a horse, you can be a great rider in life.
Oh, man. I
like
that.
The same thing. It's the same thing.
I felt good.
It's
yeah.
just your mindset, right? Because you can go into a downturn and say, like, something's going on with your family that you don't like. And somebody's being uncool, and you can go, ugh, and, like, struggle with it, and think about how that would work with your horse. It wouldn't work.
Gotta get in sync with yeah. the fam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you stay in your power. You know, I'm a great rider. I got this. And you don't lose that same grace and that same strength in the way that you ride with all the challenges that come to you in life. You know, there's always a way in us. We have superpowers in certain areas of our life, and then we lose them in other areas. And it's only just because we forget, like, how to be that great rider over here with family.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for you, Sheree, because this is actually something that's going to help me as well, but mainly for Steph. Steph's about to be back on television. And when you're going on television, especially on a reality TV show, it comes with a lot of, like, just negativity just thrown at you, whether it's on social media or just in the tabloids or whatever. Like, what advice do you have for people living their best life that they know that they're about to get, like, some kind of hate or shade sent their way?
Oh, great question. Thanks, Wells.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to how you feel when you're on a horse, Steph. Could anybody throw you off? Could anybody make you feel bad about yourself when you're riding?
My trainer.
Because your trainer can criticize you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So then that.
But
then
I mean,
that,
like, I get what you're saying. So no. Like, besides, you know, authority, no.
Sure. So that's a really good point right there, is considering the source. If you're going to get direction from someone in life, it better be from, like, a trainer or a master or somebody who really has a lesson to give you, something to teach you, something that's of value.
I feel that.
So
I don't talk to anyone without...
Right?
So if I start trolling you on the internet, then you can take it. Mm-hmm. But if it's some just random guy on Twitter... Don't worry about it.
I don't know what authority you think you have.
I'm the master.
Somebody who you value and respect, who can add to you, who can be life enhancing or life diminishing, you know? And I think when you go out into the public like that, you are a great human who's brave and courageous, who's saying, like, I'm willing to put myself out there for the sake of others. And, you know, do you follow Brené Brown?
No, who's that?
I don't.
Brené Brown is a great author, speaker, and she basically writes on vulnerability and the courage it takes to be, like, a real human on the planet. And she said at a certain moment in life, everything changed for her when she realized that everybody's willing to hate on you and criticize you and give you their opinion. But it's only the people that who are, like, in the arena, who are in there getting sweaty and dirty and, like, actually putting themselves out there in life, that she was going to listen to. And I think you got to draw that line before you go out there into the public and say, I'm only going to listen to people who are being as brave as I am, who are being vulnerable, who are putting themselves out there like I am.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would never give anyone the time of day that had no idea. And that's why I can't really talk to my parents. Like, they have no idea. They're not in the arena.
Yeah.
So
they're not.
I don't need to listen to their advice, anyone's advice that's not in the arena.
I call BS on that.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I do because listen, and for the most part, like, my run on TV has been very charmed. Very few people have disliked me. But when people do come at me on Twitter and stuff, it and I know they're trolls. They might not even be real people. They could be bots. But it still pisses me off, and it gets under my skin. And I can only imagine for you, because I feel like it's tenfold for you with the show is just kind of creates much more drama than me being a bartender in Paradise or whatever. So I call BS because I think those Twitter and those comments, those hurt.
But I don't read them.
Really?
Well, you know that.
I read them. What do I do? Because it messes with my head.
Yeah, should he be reading them? Like, do you think it's healthy for people to be so concerned?
I think it's human. It's a human condition that we are wired to want to please and to be pleasing to others. We want to be belonging in the tribe, right? You want to be cool with people. It creates a calm nervous system and a feeling of safety, which is a human need, if everybody is cool with us. So I can get why, Wells, you'd want to go out and see, am I cool? Is everybody all right with me? Am I doing well? You want to be achieving and doing a good job. So I get it. And yeah, you have to prioritize what's going to feel good. Like when we started the call, I'm saying it's a really important thing to prioritize your joy and your pleasure in life, like to enjoy the ride. You know, we don't go out to ride a horse or surf or live our lives to suffer. So if reading those posts and comments cause you to suffer, then you have to ask yourself, what is this serving? Is it trying to teach me something? Like, I think you're doing a great thing just by being out there. And probably the way to shortcut, like, the need to go out there and see, am I doing okay? Are people liking me? Is to just be really clear, why am I on this show? What is this show all about? Like, what's my big reason for doing this?
To entertain people.
That's yours?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I want to make people laugh and feel things. I want to entertain them.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I would have been in the circus for real.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy stuff? Like, that totally brings up that back in the day, it was entertainment to go, like, think about, like, the old days, like Shakespeare. You'd go to see a play to laugh and to cry, to feel the feels, right? Entertainment isn't just about being, like, happy, happy, joy, joy, and being pleased. Like, if there are haters and you're stirring people up and they're feeling feelings, then that's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And Otherwise, they'd be bored.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
So you're doing
But that's also, so, like, how I check out, you know?
Yeah.
But you check out when you go do the show? What do you mean by that?
Like, I'm just...
You're just working? Is that what you're saying?
No, let me circle around. I forgot my thought.
Okay. Well, one of my questions, going back to, like, the trolling thing and like, social media, but it happens to everyone. Like, bullying's a real issue that's happening, especially on social media. What are your thoughts on, like, I don't know why this is. I get such a feeling of joy when I clap back at people on social media. And I know that that's not, like, taking the high road.
And they love it, though. Like, that's all they want is for, like, Wells to be on their timeline.
I know. So,
People do that. Like, I remember back in the day, I'd respond to something and be like, I don't actually hate you. I just wanted to see if you'd respond.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, don't respond.
I can't do it.
No.
But I love it.
Well, if it brings you joy, as Sherry would say, follow your pleasure.
Right. I mean, if it does, well, then that's like kind of being in the game with you, and you think it's part of the entertainment. I mean, we don't know what is yours. Like, the Steph said, she wants to be out there to entertain. What's your reason?
I mean, I like to be entertaining, I suppose. I mean, like, why I've done reality TV shows is, I think to try to be like the funny guy or whatever. Now with what I do, I find that I learn more about myself doing those shows than I learn about anybody else. And so, like, I feel like there's a lot of self-growth that has come out of all the shows that I've done.
Right.
But then I'm sitting here telling you that I get so much joy out of, like, being wittier than a 13-year-old on Twitter. You know, like, that... I'm not really growing here.
But you are really witty.
That's the thing.
And the world does need to see the clapbacks. It is hard. I get the problem. It's like, why deprive all of us of your amazing clapbacks?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know what the answer is.
There's two parts see you though there, Wells. Like, you have a part of you that gets huge joy out of clapping back because it gives you a sense of power and significance. And yeah. Like, I got you. I'm wittier than you. Like, it does feel good at a certain level. But why I say, if you want to live your best life and you want to go into this experience being immune to the trollers, you have to be clear about your purpose. So if you say, I'm going into this to learn to become like the best Wells I can be, to like, I'm coming into this to grow as a human, then right there, you could up your game. And when somebody bullies you or like wants to do that, you know, trolling thing, then you can go, okay, how could I respond to this in a way that would serve us both? Like, go Prince EA on this person, you know? And teach you both a lesson, like go the higher road or give that person love. Like, we've seen it all online when somebody's being a jerk and then you come back at them with love and how they cry and tell you about what's really going on in their lives and how it's this hugely transformative moment. You know, if you were in the limelight and using your platform for growth, then it would be a very different game.
I feel like that's like The Rock's game. That's what, not mine.
What
I can't
kind of comments are you getting? Are they about your appearance? Like, I think that will change a lot of this.
No, I mean, like, I don't
is it something
really,
that you take to heart?
I don't even know. Like, it's
okay.
People are just petty on the internet, and you know, I mean, I get a lot of stuff about my girlfriend, and it's like, all right, and obviously that is a sensitive subject for me because this is it's such like a man thing to want to like. Defend someone's honor and defend my girlfriend's honor, and that annoys me. But also, I don't like talking about it because now I'm giving everyone the ammo of the things that they know will trigger me, and I don't know if I need any more of that. I Sheree, I know that you have to go soon. I wonder if you have any exercises for both of us that could help us, I don't know, be better than we are right now.
Oh, yeah, like a mantra?
Yeah, something.
Well, so there are a couple things we could do. One would be, you know, there's this concept called primary question that means that we're all walking around in life asking ourselves at a very deep level something that is creating joy or not. So a lot of people ask this question in all their experiences in life as they go throughout their day.
This is Marie Kondo.
What's wrong with me?
Does this shirt give me joy?
Yeah, like what? When will my day come? Or how come I'm not good enough? Or, you know, there's a wiring in all of us that's kind of programming whether or not we're going to feel good or bad. It's why, like, if you're going out to entertain stuff, it's like, am I doing good? Am I doing good? Like, I was just in a relationship last year where I think my primary sort of question that was going on in my mind all the time at a very deep level was, don't mess it up. You know, it's an interesting thing. So if you get clear about what that is, like, I've got to win, don't make a mistake. Do you both have a sense of what that might be that's driving the experience for being on the show? Like, I've got to do this well. Am I doing it well? Are they happy with me? Am I good enough? Like, is there anything that you can pinpoint?
Well, we were talking about this before we called you, and I think that we figured out that a lot of what drives Stephanie is wanting to make her parents proud. And so she does a lot of different things. She has a jewelry line. She has a nutrition line. She's on 3 freaking million different TV shows. She wrote a book. She's doing all this stuff. My point before we called you was, it seems like you're doing a lot of this for someone else and not for yourself. And I feel like that's an unhealthy thing. So I don't know if you can touch on that.
Oh, big time. I mean, I think the question, the whole experience of everything could shift on a dime. Like, I'm really interested in doing things that change things quickly as opposed to spending tons of time talking about it. So if the question is, are my parents proud? Did I make them proud? You simply change it to, am I proud?
Yeah.
I am.
Am I
That's
happy
the problem.
With me?
I'm like so stoked. I can't believe what I've done. I mean, the 15 minutes of fame is like inevitable, and to go from, you know, this huge show as supporting cast to make a whole nother career in another country, you know, to the point where I've designed a dress that's, you know, on billboards and tube stations. Just, I am so proud of how hard I have worked. And that's right. That's what's frustrating is I'm just like, hello, do you, you know?
And you still care about whether or not they are.
Oh, yeah. Just, because it doesn't, the way we communicate doesn't change. It's still like, what are you doing? Oh, you're sleeping late. And like, it'll be like the first time I've had a lie in months. It's just like bad timing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to give you a practice because you asked for a mantra. And this will help everybody. And I can give you, like, I could talk about it for days on end, why this practice is so powerful. But just hold that. It's ancient. It's been used for a million years. It comes from Hawaii.
Oh,
and it's called Ho'oponopono.
Ooh.
Loving this.
Okay. Ho'oponopono is magical. It's miraculous. It heals family relationships probably better than anything I've ever used with any client ever.
We're celebrating back here, by the way.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to break it down, and it's very simple. And all you're going to do is just say, all right, I'm sick and tired of feeling like my parents aren't proud of me. I am proud of me. I want to move into a new chapter in my life where I can feel my joy and all the things. And I'm just going to repeat this every time I have a worry or a thought that my parents aren't proud, and I'm going to let it work its magic. Okay. And and I bet you anything, we'll be talking in like a month and you'll be like, Sheree, oh my God, it's so weird. My parents just called and said that they are proud of me. And we will not believe it. But this is what happens is people can go like 20 years not talking to their sister. And then one sister will start practicing Ho'oponopono. And then a week later, the sister will call and say, I don't know why I felt like I needed to call you. And
wow.
And then the relationship is paired. It's weird.
Hawaii is so magical.
Okay, so what does she do? Does she say Ho'oponopono a bunch?
No. So this is the practice of Ho'oponopono, and it's repeating four statements.
Okay.
So I can send it to you guys. You can post it for the listeners.
Yeah.
Or you can just take a quick note. It's very easy. So you're going to say these four statements.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And let me break it down, because every time I even say it, I get the chills. But it's not saying, I'm sorry, like, Steph, you're wrong, you did anything bad. It's, I'm sorry for the situation. I'm sorry for the pain. I'm sorry for the struggle for myself and for you. I'm sorry that we can't connect. I'm sorry that I even have had to carry this. I wish you were proud of me my whole life. Like, it's just, I'm sorry. It's not, I'm sorry I've done anything wrong. People get caught up in that. Please forgive me is not please forgive me I've done something wrong. It's please forgive me of this bond. Please release me of this need to have your approval.
Ooh.
Right?
I guess I do this, just not the magical Hawaiian way, but I'm Christian and I do pray to God for all of these things daily.
Yeah. Which is great too. The power of prayer is phenomenal, you know? But
for everyone it's different.
Yeah. And sometimes having a practice like Ho'oponopono just allows you to get into a place where you let go.
Where
you let the magic of the practice happen. It's not on you anymore. There's a lot of muscling in prayer. Not to say that it doesn't always serve and work, but I'm right there with you. It sometimes feels like a lot of work. This just allows you to be like, I'm just going to say these things and let the magic happen. So if I'm sorry, then please forgive me. And then I love you. Thank you. So it's just putting, it basically puts you in your highest self. It puts you back on that horse. Like you're riding that horse and like, I'm just released to this. I surrender.
Do you know that's my happy place, riding a horse in Hawaii? Like we just came full circle.
Full circle. So you need to put yourself in the mindset of I am Steph riding the horse in Hawaii. Like you guys, I don't need anything. And you repeat those four statements as often as you need to have you feel free, and then just let's sit back and watch.
So the next time someone tweets to me something rude, I'm going to reply with, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
And they're going to be like, dude, Wells is crazy.
And then I'm like, but also, you used the wrong form of your, so you're an idiot.
There it is. T-H-E-R-E.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cherie, thanks so much
for being
on the Pratcast. You're awesome. Okay, so I'm gonna use this. I'm gonna use the I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you, thank you. Anytime. Actually today I was having a bad day, so I'm gonna use this. And then
it's gonna give you all the growth that you could ever want. Well, it's like when you were saying if I wanna learn and use this to grow, I mean just do that. And you'll be set.
All right. Where can people find out more about you and your life coaching?
Oh, man. I'm on Instagram as The Luminary.
Ooh.
And on the line as CherieHealy.com. It's spelled CHERIEHEALEY.
All right, everyone out there, if you're looking for some good advice from an amazing life coach, Cherie Healy is the lady for you. Thank you so
much. Yeah, what a treat to have you.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with this new season.
Thank you. I need it.
Yeah. We'll be calling you in a couple weeks, I promise.
Good. I can't wait. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Later.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, bye.
You can be honest. You weren't into it.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
It's hard, though, because, like, I know, like, how incredible she is. Like, yeah. And
you can
that we
be,
got her on the
be,
show.
Dude, you can be transparent. You can be honest about it.
You know what it is? It's like it's like with anything. It's like even with dating. It's like if you don't have like some kind of connection. Like I've spoken to so many life coaches, not just on the podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, therapists, blah, blah. If you're not like vibing with their vibe.
Yeah.
Like you just kind of, like that's why I like these metaphors. I was just like kind of.
Well,
losing.
Yeah, I was feeling it though. So that's the funny thing. Like, I was on the wavelengths with her, and I was like trying to think of like, I was
what
like, where is my happy place? Because I think I do a lot of things that make me happy, but like for you, you have like one thing. It's like riding horses.
But it's not actually. I just felt like her questions. I just felt like I had to keep answering her questions.
Yeah.
Even though
I think she was just trying to make you understand. Like, she was just trying to give you a metaphor so you would understand where she was coming from.
But I'm stupid.
No,
I know.
You're
I'm kidding.
Smart.
Okay, wait. Go on. So you've got a bunch.
Yeah. I don't know, but like, but I like it. I also like.
What's your priority? What are your priorities? Maybe you'll see how they connect with.
I mean, I don't know. I don't even know anymore. I used to want to have a radio show. Then I got like four of them, and then I didn't want any more of them. You know, then I wanted to be on a TV show, and then I went on a bunch of them. I think that like my priorities are just forward momentum, you know, like always like doing something new and better and just trying to be the best at whatever I'm doing at that moment. And then also like doing well. Your dog's growling at me right now. It's not. Anyways, I really liked it because I feel like I do get bogged down with like.
Oh, by the way, I so
anger.
Relate to what you just said.
You know, I get bogged down by that. And I think I like this. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I'm going to use that. So anyway, Cherie Healy, I really appreciated that. I want to talk to her again, to be honest with you. But just like maybe like just by myself.
Yeah, I think you should.
You know?
What you were just like saying. I feel like we've really not given you enough time with all these life coaches.
No, well, I mean, like, we're focusing on you, you know.
But do you have, like, what is your number one priority?
My relationship and my dog. Those are my two biggest priorities. And my family.
Wow, okay, so before work.
Yeah, I think all that stuff kind of, it kind of finds itself.
See,
no matter what.
I just, like, I don't think I could ever put someone before work because if that person leaves... Then I'm just like, I'm a fucking moron.
Yeah, but like, so
for
that's
giving up that job or, you know, not doing that. And I've, you know, wasted all this time.
Okay, let me just stop you right there. There, if I went to Sarah and I said, hey, there's this job that I want to do that I'm really excited about, there's no way in a million years she'd be like, I'm going to leave you if you do that job. Like, unless it was like porn or something, but like, but like, she would be supportive of it, you know? And so, like, it wouldn't even be an issue, like, that she would hinder this, my career in any way. And adversely, like, there was talk of, well, anyways, if she came to me and was like, hey, really, like, I'm really passionate about this one thing, then I'd be like, yeah, dude, let's do it. Let's figure out a way to make this work. This is great. More money.
Yeah, you guys, you guys are really lucky.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that you have a pessimist view of relationships. I think that in your past, relationships have always turned into negatives.
Because they always end. So it's just like, I expect my next relationship to end.
Yeah.
And when it ends, am I going to be happy with where my career is?
Yeah, but you
Or did I, you know, turn into codependent girlfriend and travel around and, you know, not focus on working?
I know. I think that there will be a moment in your life that you'll realize that they can both coexist together. And I think that's when you'll be truly happy. And I think at that point, you'll also be like, I don't really, like, I care about all of my family. This was I was a big, like, I want to make my father proud guy for a long, long time.
Oh, really?
And I realized with my job choices that I was just never going, it was just never going to happen. Because he was like, dude, you can't make any money in radio. He was right about that. But he was like, you can't make any money in radio. And like, what you're doing is like, go be a finance guy. Go sell insurance. Have a normal job. And I was like, I just can't do that. That's just like not, I will be unfulfilled. And it's so funny now because I'm successful and with whatever the hell I am doing. And he's like, thinks that like I'm the coolest job. Oh my God, Wells, it's amazing. But like, if I had like done that in the beginning and did what I thought would make him proud, I would be unhappy. And also he wouldn't be as proud as he is of me now. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think he was kind of saying like, you know, that's too risky. Like, get a safe job. I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
Screw up your life.
Yeah. And I also think, so now what I think when I talk to my father about my jobs and like my life, he's just so, it's just so foreign to him. But I also think that what he's proud of is not like the paychecks that I'm getting or like the fact that I was in People magazine or some stupid thing like that. I think he's like, man, my son was so much more brave than I ever would have been. I would have never tried to do that and tried to like make that my career. I wanted to be a doctor and I knew that would make me money or whatever. And so I think that his pride in me is not from what I originally wanted him to be proud of, which was the job. I think his pride in me now is like, I can't believe you've made that work. Mm-hmm. You know, I would never have the nuts to do that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Brave and, yeah. Yeah.
So, aww, anyways,
that's really nice.
Anyways, I'm sorry.
What?
Please forgive me.
Oh.
I love you. Thank you. Let's switch gears right now. I want to play a little game with you because we are 27 days until the Hills premiere. I said Hills
no.
weird, didn't I?
24, 25.
I don't know. My notes here say 27 days, so we're going to stick with that. It's around there, okay?
Yeah.
It's coming up pretty close. Okay, so we saw the trailer for The Hills was released. We didn't really learn much about it. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't know. So honestly, I do not know, you guys.
Okay.
Like, that can't be the trailer.
Yeah. Like, okay, so you're not pleased with it.
No, like, I keep seeing, like, full trailer here. I think I, like, watched it once, and I was like, what? I think it's just like kind of fun, like nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, but no, the full trailer, I'm hoping, is not that.
Okay.
And like it will blow your socks off.
All right. Justin, Bobby, and Adrina flirting a little in the trailer. Did you see that?
I mean, I think it's everyone's dream for them to get together.
Are they like
they're a,
like
they're
Ross
a big,
and Rachel?
They're a big storyline.
Yeah. All right. Everyone looks good. I will say that. Like, I'm impressed that everyone's been able to keep it up.
Really?
Kinda.
Do we look older? Like, a lot older? Or, like, do we still kind of look like we can pull off, you know, running around in LA?
I actually think everyone looks hotter because I feel like now that I look back on those, like, old trends.
Oh, my God.
I'm just like, I don't know. Ugh. A lot of rocket dogs.
Ugh. Yes!
You remember rocket dogs?
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny you say that in this promo thing that MTV for social media that we were doing.
Yeah.
They were like, they had me describe like what I would wear back then.
Yeah.
And I said rocket dog.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Everyone's, all of my girlfriends in that era wore rocket dogs.
So
and they're just
funny.
Huge wedges. Okay. I wanted to play a little game with you. We want to get to know the Hills cast like a little bit better through your eyes. Okay. So I'm going to say a name, and you only get one word to describe that person, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
You ready? And I want you to do it. Don't think about it. Just say it.
No, I need to think about
it. No, you don't. You got to say as fast as you can.
But that's just like word vomit for me. Like my,
I know.
My
that's why
thoughts
we're doing
are
this.
Crazy. But don't you want me to like actually think about it and like really give
I want
good...
you to word vomit and then you can think about it. And
oh,
then you can give a different
God.
Answer if you want.
You're sick.
Okay, you ready? Adrena. Did you almost say the B word?
No, I almost said
oh, okay. Interesting. Whitney.
Smart.
Misha.
Confused.
Okay. Heidi.
Let's just skip. Just out of...
Do you want to skip your brother too?
Yeah.
Okay. Brody.
Wild.
Ooh. Frankie.
Party.
Justin Bobby.
Deep.
Brandon.
Hot.
Steph.
Me?
Yeah.
Emotional.
Okay. That checks out.
Which is so annoying. I wish I was like something else.
Are you the star of the show?
No.
Are you the star of the show?
No.
Who's the star of the show?
It's an ensemble.
Who do you think is the star of the show?
All of us. We're all in it the same amount. It's because it's not a huge cast, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like we're a very tight-knit group and it's like our group. No. What's that saying? No new friends.
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. I don't believe that. Okay. So if I was watching the show, because I'm going to be, so when this happens, when this starts, I'm going to be that guy to be like, so-and-so's the star.
How will you even be able to tell though?
Like when I watch The Bachelor, I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly who the main character is.
Who do you think the star is right now on The Bachelorette?
Luke. I mean, Hannah is the star, but the thing about that show is that the lead is never the star. It's the cast is the star. And I think this right now there's two stars. I think Luke P and I think Cam are the two stars. And they're killing it, right?
Cam's gone.
Yeah, okay. He was a star.
Did you not watch it again?
I did. I watched it last night. It was great. So good.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Ask me anything
How
about it.
How did you know that Cam didn't go home?
I mean, I forgot that, like, he didn't get the rose at the end, but, like, that episode, he was the star. Also confused is, does he have an amputeed leg or not? I don't know what's happening.
I really want to get to the bottom of that.
It was the weirdest,
Why didn't
most,
he show us?
Just, like, it was just so vague. That whole episode was vague. By the way, was it Tyler or Kevin just, like, left the show with, like, no real understanding of why? Hannah went to the hospital. Hannah went to the hospital. No one knows why.
Right? She just, the next shot was just her laying in bed, looking at her IV.
Yeah. It was so confusing. And then Cam comes in, and he's like, I need to tell you about this amputee thing.
And my dog died.
Yeah, and we're like,
and
I'm
my
so
grandmother
confused.
Died.
Did you lose a leg? What happened?
It was a pile of dirty laundry on her. It was like, and then during that hospital visit,
yeah,
my 10-month-old dog had to be rehomed. Like, it was nonstop.
What I loved about that episode is...
Do you think he lied? Oh my God.
I think that he was making a lot of stuff up. But I think the producers and the editors were like, so much happened in this episode. I don't know what to do. Let's just shove it all in together and just hope for the best. Like... Do we need to explain why Hannah isn't at the hospital? No, don't worry about it.
She's exhausted.
Do we need to know if he has missing a leg or an arm? No, don't worry about it.
That is so crazy. Like, why didn't he show us?
But anyways, back to... Exactly. I don't think he... Maybe he did. I don't know. But back to the thing is, like, I watch that show and I'm like, I know who the star is. I feel like when I watch your show, I'm going to be like, I know who the star is.
I'm curious who it'll be.
Yeah.
I could see, you know, Adrena and Justin being...
Yep.
Being the stars.
That's exciting.
But, or I could be leading you guys on right now.
I know.
What? Or, you know, Spidey, they're front and center.
They're
always.
Definitely going to be front and center.
Yeah.
But I do.
I'm telling you, there's not going to be one star.
Yeah.
You're just going to be so happy watching it.
I can't wait. It needs to happen already.
I know. I just like really want to see a trailer for it.
Are you about to go out to New York for press?
Yes.
What's your mental state for this?
Great. Yeah. I honestly feel great.
Do you?
Like, so good.
Have you been saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, over and over again?
No.
Need to.
But I really want you to walk down the street saying that so people just think you're nuts.
Yeah. People think I'm nuts.
I'm sorry, please forgive me. Hello, I love you. Thank you.
We got some emails. You want to rip through them real quick?
Sure.
This is from Aaron. Oh, this is for me. I have a question for Wells. I was watching the episode of this season's Bachelorette when the men all have to wear Speedos. I'm dying to know, do the men all get waxed before and or during the show?
Oh my God, best question. Yeah, do you guys have a waxer?
I just can't believe they're all naturally groomed on their own. Thanks, Aaron, for that question.
Great question.
I have a really funny story about that whole thing. Do we have time for this?
Yes.
What is our time limit?
Yes, we'll cut out the other part.
Yeah. So before I went on The Bachelorette, this is, please don't think less of me, but I had never been on TV, so I was just doing what I thought was the best thing for me, right? So I went and got my teeth whitened, which I'm happy about because they look better.
You know what's funny is my dad says he's a dentist,
yeah,
and he says Crest whitening strips
are great,
are just the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways.
So anyways, I got my teeth
not
whitened.
Not a sponsor, but Crest, if you want to
Yeah, whatever. So I went and got my teeth whitened, and then, so I have this thing where I have naturally olive skin, but if I don't get in any sun, I get really, really pale, and then I just naturally have like dark circles under my eyes, and I look better when I have a tan because then you can't see the dark circles because then it becomes the same kind of color.
Gotcha.
At least that's what my mother tells me. So I went and got a spray tan.
Yes. Yes.
This is a couple days.
Oh,
I know.
God.
Don't look at me like
this
that.
Is the
all right.
Best. Oh my God. This made my day.
So I went and got a spray tan.
Oh my God. You're the first guy that I know that's done this.
Really? No.
That's admitted.
So I went and got a spray tan a couple days before I had to fly out to get, you know, walk out of the limo. So I go get the spray tan. And so afterwards, I went to go say goodbye basically to my brother-in-law and my sister. And I looked like, what's the Nash Bridges guy who's like way too tan with way too white
of
teeth?
Oh, that and eats those chips?
I looked like Don Johnson. All right, like I was way too tan with way too white of teeth.
And, oh, God,
and like,
your teeth.
And my sister was like, oh, my God, dude. Like, whoa.
Ross.
Yes, exactly,
Ross. Oh, my God.
So I'm sitting there freaking out being like, oh, no, I went to, like, it's too much. Like, I'm too dark. It's too white of teeth. And so my brother-in-law the entire time is going, okay, so but you got a spray tan. And I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, well, are you naked when you do that? And I was like, well, yeah. Like, I
no.
want to. Why would I want to have. Like, the whole point of getting a spray tan is that you take your, there's no tan lines.
Wait a minute. Did someone airbrush you? Or are you going into a machine?
Airbrush.
Oh, my.
So he was like,
isn't that harassment?
So he was like, wait, so you were naked? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, so did they, like, get your Frank and Beans? And I was like, yeah, dude. Like, it was super awkward. And he was like, well, like, did they get, like, everything? And I was like, well, the weird thing was is that I had to lift up my ween so they could get the underside.
No!
Because I didn't want to have like a top tan ween and then a bottom.
No one's going to be seeing that. Well,
I know, but like,
you didn't even kiss her for 8 weeks.
Exactly. But like, what if JoJo saw that and she was like, wait, you have a tan on the top part of your ween and the bottom part of your ween is white as a vampire. Very confused.
Wait,
I had lifted up and then she had to get the underside of it. And he's like, oh my God, that's so weird, dude. So I was.
Did you have to bend over to get the butt cheeks too?
I didn't do the taint. So then I leave and I go film the show for, you know, a month and a half. And I come back. First place I go to hang out is with my sister and brother-in-law. And my sister's like, what happened? Like, how did you get kicked off the show? Like, what was going on? Like, what's gonna be the feedback? And my brother-in-law is like, okay, I don't care about any of that. I just want to know, did everyone get their underside of their wiener spray tan? He's like, I've been thinking about this for months now. It's the only thing, and I've been telling all my friends, and I don't know what to think. And I was like, dude, what? And he was like, you told me
all my friends
that you had to lift up, and they got the underside of your wiener. And I was like, oh, dude, I was made that whole thing up.
Oh.
And he was like, wait, what? You made this up? And I was like, yeah, I just had my boxers on. And he was like, I've been telling everyone about this story.
I'm going to kill you right now.
You believed it.
Oh, my God. You've been looking at me. I've been like in like awe and bliss over this because I couldn't believe that guys would go naked.
So anyways, I didn't.
Wow.
I had my underwear on for that.
Boxers, though?
Not little.
Yeah, no. Like I have like very compression boxer briefs.
Okay, but still, if you had a Speedo, you would have had a tan line.
Yeah, and I still had a tan line, like a boxer tan line.
Okay, so in the house, though, do they have someone that, like, offers, like, some spray tanning or waxing?
No, no.
Really? So all the guys get waxed before?
Well, I never got waxed. I definitely did, like, manscaping, but I definitely had, like, my chest hair was available. But, like, there were a lot of guys that were just, like, I think they would shave themselves.
Mm.
I remember on my season, we had a guy named Vinny who was a barber, so he would cut our hair, which was dope to have. Because for 2 months you don't get a haircut, but
I
they
cut
were
someone's hair in rehab.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That I remember. Producers didn't really want us to do that because then all of a sudden we look different for pickups, you know. But yeah. So, anyways, that's my funny story about going on.
Did you do anything else, or just the tan and white teeth? Did you get a facial?
No, because I have good skin. I don't need that. I definitely like tried to lose as much weight as possible.
What do you mean?
I tried to get like thin because I was like,
you're supposed to get
camera
muscular.
10 pounds.
Oh my God.
That's what was my thought process.
It's true.
You know? And it is true.
Yeah.
It's for sure true. So anyways, yeah. And then in Mexico, they send a barber. There's like one guy that works at Escondida that can like cut hair, and he'll like come and like cut everyone's hair. I'm just really excited for your freaking show to start. All right. I just need it to happen.
Right. And I've got like the perfect escape plan.
You do? What is it?
So the show airs on the 24th.
Yeah.
And it's going to be bonkers.
Okay.
I am jetting out to London on the 27th.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So I'll be on a plane for a good like 13 hours, my phone off, just no emails and no shocking, you know, headlines. Yeah, it's going to be delightful. And then I'm going to land in another country and get in a black cab and be like, oh, I'm in fantasy land again. And I will never, you know.
Okay, love this idea. Big problem. You have a show that we have to talk about. What's happening on that show?
Totally. I'm going to watch it alone. Remember how my priorities, alone time?
Okay, in the
but,
dark.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, it's going to be, I'm not going to lie. Like, there's a lot that is coming from me. So
really?
Yeah, I'm going to be checking out of the public's response. Because you know what? Bottom line is anyone on TV is going to get
Yeah, of course.
Literally. I mean,
that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. I'm also excited for our next episode because we're going to tape it live from Wango Tango.
I'm so happy you can come.
I know.
Oh, and me too. I'm not going to Australia.
I know. I'm Yay. Sorry I'm not going to Australia, but like, have you ever been to Wango Tango?
Yeah, back in the... I think we filmed there, actually.
I believe that, for sure.
I was thinking about that the other night. I'm pretty sure we did film there, yeah.
By the way, the lineup is crazy. Taylor Swift.
That's all I care about.
The Joe Bros. I feel like Halsey. Is Halsey on it?
Oh, I love
it. I mean,
the
lineup is just ridiculous. And you can watch Wango Tango on June 7th at 8 o'clock on Freeform. We're going to be doing our show live from there, so we'll be sober. For sure.
Oh, no. Remember what happened last time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Five Sauce is doing it. Zed, Allie Brooke, Ava Max, Fletcher. Oh, I love that Fletcher song, that Undrunk song. I relate to that song so much. I wish I was a little undrunk. I wish I was a little undrunk so I could uncall you. You never heard that song?
No.
Oh, it's so
good. Is it country?
No, it's a pop song, but I'm a terrible voice, so that's why that sounded like crap. Anyways.
I'm going to listen to that. Oh, wait, did you ever watch those shows that I told you to watch?
Which ones?
Those Who Can't?
No, I need to write that down.
And Tacoma FD.
Tacoma FD I want to watch. I've got a show for you that you probably know about because you're British now. Fleabag.
Oh, I started watching it.
Oh, it's so good.
I saw the first episode.
Such a good show.
Okay.
Big fan of that one.
So stick with it.
Yeah. Fleabag is great. All right, let's go. Let's get out of here.
All right. See you guys.
Hills, yeah.
Show's over.
Follow Prattcast on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.